Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Dawn Demure, educator, lecturer, been working with old-fashioned herbal medicine for decades, and we're just learning all the wonderful things about echinacea today. Are there any other places that the echinacea actually grows in? You said it's hot prairies, so is what countries would it come from?
Well, it is native to the prairies, North America, namely, but the interesting thing about the purpurea, that subspecies of echinacea I was referring to earlier, that one grows just about anywhere. Alfred Vogel, when he was leaving South Dakota after visiting with the Sioux, he was given seeds as a gift by Ben Black Elk, and he went back to his native Switzerland, and he started to grow it. And within a few short years, he had a very successful crop of it, and he's been propagating, growing it, well, for the last 60 years now, almost 60 years.
Okay. How did they decide, like you say, there's three different kinds of echinacea. It was the purpurea, angustifolia, and I can't remember the third one you said. But how did they decide which one would be the most benefit to work with?
That's a really good question, and you'll get differing opinions on this. In the experience of Alfred Vogel, he felt that the purpurea was a better species to work with because it's hardy. It's a very, very, all the different species, the hardiest. You could actually pluck out of the ground, transplant it, and it'll do okay. And echinacea is not really meant to grow in Switzerland, but he made it work. The seeds that were given to him by Ben Blackhawk, the purpurea, did really well in the lower elevations of northern Switzerland where Alfred is from. And so, and also the science bears this out too. We really want to see an extract that's high in citric acid and in alkylamides. These are the compounds that alter the virus, so it's basically renders it impotent, and also possesses a very distinct anti-inflammatory effect. So if you have a person that's already succumbed to the infection, they're already sick, the anti-inflammatory properties of the plant becomes very, very important, because when you're fighting a fever, you got aching limbs, you just can't get out of bed, that's basically your immune system going haywire, and kind of like a civil war. It's actually fighting the bad guy, but unwittingly, it's also fighting healthy cells and actually killing healthy cells. So we want to down-regulate that inflammatory reaction by the body. And there are things in echinacea that fights inflammation, and we know that through science.
So when you are under heavy attack from a virus or a bacteria and you're lying there in bed, can you overdose on echinacea? Or can you just keep eating those little tablets till the good guys win?
Yeah, you know, the therapeutic window for echinacea is huge, meaning if you take just a very, very tiny amount, believe it or not, it's going to confer some benefit, i.e. if you're healthy, but you're around people that are carrying viruses, it will to some extent confer some immunity, not as much as if you're taking more, obviously. Depends on the strain of virus, too. There's no hard and straight answer on that one. Mm-hmm. But if you take liberal amounts, which I tend to do, there's no toxicity. When we did that human trial at the University of Cardiff, because it was on live subjects, we're obligated by law to look at biomarkers in the body. So we're looking at kidney function, liver function, gut flora, and so on. We're obligated by law to look at the well-being of our test subjects, right? So when they did these tests, they found nothing negative taking place. There was no aberrant cell behavior, like cell multiplication that could potentially become cancerous, let's say. So we do know that the therapeutic window is quite large. At the low end, if you take it conservatively, you may, good chance you'll get some antiviral effects. At the higher end, if you take too much, let's say, you've spent more money than you needed to, let's put it that way. There really is no, well, we're talking about within reasonable limits, no toxicity observed. And the only, you know, this herb is so safe, we're allowed in Canada to say it's safe for pregnant and nursing mothers to take echinacea. So that tells you a lot right there.
Yeah, and that's only the Vogel product that has that claim, right?
Yeah, we've done the extensive human trials all over the world, mainly in England, Switzerland, and University of British Columbia, and Health Canada was rather kind to us because they tend to be rather conservative, but they recognize these studies as being very accurate, and the construct of the study was well done. It was basically a gold standard, if you will. And so, yeah, the Vogel extract is a very efficacious and safe product.
And how many countries can you find Dr. Vogel's echinacea in?
Approximately 30.
Wow.
It's a very successful brand, and people know that Alfred Vogel was a man of great reputation, and he really went into it to help people, not so much make money, but at the end, there was so much demand for his remedies that he had to go from being a clinician to a manufacturer of fresh organic extracts. So that's what he became at the very end of his life. He didn't go into business until he was in his late 60s, mm-hmm. interestingly enough, and that's he formed a very successful company at that point.
Absolutely. And he was a true naturopath. If you read his book that was written about him. But he had lots of good ideas about how to keep the body clean and well and balanced. Can you speak to some of those things?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He only talked about products as secondary. First was diet and lifestyle, and even talked about emotional things, the importance of being loved and showing love for others, respecting nature and spending a good amount of time in nature. And he was one of these barefoot herbalists. He would literally walk through meadows barefoot, and whenever he'd get tired, he would lean up against a tree. And so he was a tree hugger at the same time. And I never got a chance to meet him. I joined the company a year after he passed away. But there are people out east who have met him, and they say the same thing. He was a man of great humility, very, very humble. And he was open to suggestions, ideas. And he was literally put on this earth to help people. That's how he saw his mission.
Wow, that sounds a lot like you, Don. How long have you worked with the Vogel products?
Thank you.
Thank you. We're not done yet. I just was wondering how long you'd worked with the Vogel products.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it's been 21 years now. Yeah,
21 years working with the same ones. And the wonderful thing about Vogel products is they're not changing all the time, and you know, tons of marketing around them. They're the pure products that have done the test of time, decade after decade.
Yeah, Alfred Vogel found that his main claim to fame is fresh organic plant extracts. Even back in the 20s when he first got into business, he found that dried herbs were being used. That was part of the pharmacopoeias all around the world. And he realized that fresh plant extracts are far more efficacious or broader in their action. They have a deeper action in the body. So truly, the reason why he got pushed into business is because nobody was doing fresh plant extracts on a scale enough to supply the world. There was an increasing demand, especially in the 60s, for his remedies, and nobody else was doing it. And he even said, I'm forced to create my own company, grow echinacea seeds and milk thistle and so on, because there's nobody else doing this around the world. So he was forced into production because fresh plant extracts are far superior to dried. And also, there's an issue of action in the body. When you use a dried herb, quite often what happens is one or two compounds end up becoming isolated, and a lot of the companies will do what's called standardization based on one or two constituents. With Vogel, he was concerned with the hundreds and sometimes thousands of different naturally occurring compounds in the plant. So he would use the whole plant whenever it was relevant, and he would make sure it was fresh. He would soak it in alcohol immediately after harvest and extract the hundreds and hundreds of different naturally occurring compounds. And he found that those extracts had a deeper and wider action in the body. And our echinacea is a perfect example of that. I mean, we're bound by law to say it's good for upper respiratory infections. But if you look at his bladder formula, the second ingredient in there is echinacea because it fights infection throughout the whole body. And probably because it's got a whole bunch of other compounds besides the alkylamide, besides the citric acid.
And you're talking about the Cystophorce.
Exactly. That's the product that's been around for decades. And just bearberry, which is very good against the E. coli, which quite often is responsible for urinary tract infections. And the echinacea is great for fighting any infection in the body, whether it's in the urinary tract or upper respiratory. It is an antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-inflammatory product, herb, I should say.
Wow. Don, what's another one of your favorite Vogel products that you've been working with for so long?
This one relates to men. It would be the salt palmetto oil, which has a very, very specific anti-DHT effect on the man's hormonal cascade. So as men age, we know testosterone goes down, but its metabolite, dihydrotestosterone, tends to spike, and that's the hormone that's implicated in male pattern baldness, loss of libido, and finally in a large prostate, which affects half the population by the age 50, and it's a very much a linear line. By the time the male population is 80 years old, 80% of the male population will be afflicted by that. So it's a very relevant product. And it works so well. It works much like the drugs, finasterides and so on, but without the harsh side effects. In fact, the main side effect is that it's an aphrodisiac. So a fellow whose urinary system is not working as well as he'd like, quite often those men suffer in the bedroom as well in terms of sexual performance and drive and satisfaction. We did a study in Switzerland back in 2011 on these same men we found who couldn't avoid completely. Their bladder was constantly holding some level of urine. But we also found that they quite often suffered from erectile dysfunction, ejaculatory dysfunction, and just overall dissatisfaction with their love life. And we found 40% of those symptoms overall symptoms went down by 40% just after two months of therapy. So that's a really good herb as well. So related.
Absolutely. And what's the name of that product, Don?
It's called Prostate One.
Prostate One. And it's only one a day, so it's easy for men to take.
Exactly. We find that men are usually not good when it comes
That's right.
To the, so one a day, preferably after dinner, goes to work. Usually within the first couple of weeks, a man will see an improvement in his symptoms.
Wonderful. You're just a wealth of information. It's always fun to have you on the show, Don. Thanks so much for phoning in.
Well, thank you for having me, Kathy.
Okay, we'll be right back after this break.